Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Tonight is the season finale of Insight into Healing. We will be returning on September 6th. First of all, I would just like to thank all of my listeners for all of your support, your questions, your updates, and your inspiration. This show has been such a wonderful, wonderful experience and just continues to grow and also show how many incredible people are out there and how much strength that's out there in our community. So I just at the beginning just wanted to thank all of you so much for all of your support. Tonight is a live show, so please feel free to call in at 646-716-7250. And if there's a prompt, say press speak to the host. And please wait on the line because I will be answering some questions from listeners and might have other guests calling in. But I would love to get to everybody. Also, please check out my book, as you know, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos at www.ccbpublishing.com/aservodidio.html. If you want an autographed copy, please send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. I'm also taking questions, guests, and updates for next season starting in September, so please send me an email again at insightintohealing@gmail.com. Well, let's start with one of my first questions from a listener. Dear Insight into Healing, my boyfriend has been clean now for 2 years. However, he was not in any program and currently isn't following anything. He has slipped once already. And it's also possible he may have slipped again over the weekend. He hates losing control and has a lot of shame about it. I don't want to become overbearing about it, but what is there to do? This is really a difficult situation, and I see this many times in my private practice. And I think one thing that kind of stands out to me is that I think it's amazing he did this on his own and he was able to stay clean for 2 years. That's amazing. I think he really needs a lot of credit and strength and acknowledgement for all the hard work he's done. But I think this is what happens when we don't have a team or a community, as I always say, behind us, a support system. If he had maybe a therapist or a PCP or some sort of support group just to check in. As I say sometimes, you don't have to be in therapy weekly, but sometimes come in as a tune-up. We get our cars tuned up. We go in for mental checkups. We go in for physical checkups. Why not go in to see a therapist or see a group or speak to a sponsor or a consultant just to touch base about how you're doing with your sobriety? And I said it sounds like he slipped up once already. And I think also, there shouldn't be, yes, there is some guilt and shame, and it becomes very serious, but I also want to make sure he's not getting stuck and being slipped up that one time. Because I think so many times, especially if you're doing this alone, you get inside your head, and you just kind of, it builds and it builds and it builds, and the guilt and the shame just grows and grows, and you feel so bad about slipping up once that sometimes that can lead to, okay, then, you know what, I'm just going to have another drink, or this, I can't do this anymore. And your self-esteem goes down so much that I find that this could also push a person to drink more, to use more. So that's why I find it so important not just to have someone to report to, not in that way, but I think it's important to have someone to speak to bounce off, someone who's non-judgmental, someone who's also going to be honest with you and say, hey, you slipped up once, we really have to work on this, or you slipped up on a few times, something's going on here. We need to figure out what are the triggers, as they say, people, places, or things. And I think really trying to find out what led to that one slip-up, what was going on that day or night, in the morning, during, before, after, what were his thought processes? What was the events he was going on? What was his routine? Who was he seeing, or if seeing anybody? What type of people were around him? And to be really aware of your mental status. As I always say before, take a self-inventory in the morning, in the afternoon, at night, about your mood, how you're feeling physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, because I think you really have to be aware of that. And this is also important for someone who is not even having an addiction problem or any other type of issue going on. It's really important just for self-care. I think that's what's so important for this listener, for this girlfriend, too. As you said, you know, I don't want to become overbearing. What is there to do? And for your part, that's really tough to watch a loved one self-sabotage, hurt themselves, because this is his journey. You are there to support him and help him and set boundaries. But I think it's also his journey, and it's kind of his way that he needs to get through this on his own. But it's also being there to support him, but also setting those boundaries. You also cannot become an enabler, not saying that you are. But I'm saying that's also sometimes a slippery slope. Where do you become the enforcer? Do you become the one who says no, 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 the disciplinarian, or the enabler? So it's kind of trying to find that middle ground, still trying to keep yourself distanced from getting drawn in, getting reeled in to all of these problems going on. I think so many times it just spirals and spirals. And I think also, you know, with the guilt and the shame that he's having, and also maybe not being able to sometimes feeling guilty and shame about saying, hey, I slipped up more than once, what's going on? And I think it's nobody's, you know, fault, but I think it's also him being able to be really honest about what's going on. And I think him also to say, does he really want to stop drinking? As I say with a lot of my clients, what is the addiction? If it could be food, it could be cigarettes, it could be shopping, it could be alcohol. What is the relationship with that cigarette, with that drink? As I always say, it's like that friend, maybe not a very healthy friend, that's been in your life since maybe high school or college or since you were younger. And it's someone you really shouldn't be hanging around with all the time, but there is some positive to it, but there's also the negative way out more than the positive. So I think when it comes to addiction, you really try to find out, what is this negative friend? What is this relationship going on with this drug, with this addiction that kind of is it filling a void? Is it comfort? Is it rewarding? Is it a sense of relaxation or escape? And I think that's when if your boyfriend can kind of look into that, if he hasn't already, to try to figure out what is his relationship with the alcohol? What purpose does it serve for him? Number one, figuring that out. And are there any other things or other ways where he can have that purpose served through more healthier options? And I think also being really honest, he's been clean for 2 years. How was he clean for 2 years? What tools worked for him? And sometimes we grow out of our tools. That's why I think being in a program, not that you have to go to AA every night, because some people that I do work with feel AA is too harsh, or that they don't like a lot of their concepts, which is fine. But I think sometimes maybe sitting in the room and hearing things, not having to agree with everything, sitting in maybe an AA once in a while, or going to a private group, a church group, or something, you know, with other support groups of people who have addiction issues or impulse control, just to be able to hear other people's stories, to get ideas, to get tools. And I don't think you always have to share yourself, because some people don't like to share in a group, and I totally get that. That's why I think sometimes just being able to hear, and also to know you're not alone. You're not, you know, not to sit there and really just beat yourself up and feel so guilty about what you do, but be able to be supported around other people who have an idea of what you're going through, but also want to help themselves too. So I think it's important that your boyfriend find positive people, people that want to heal themselves, to surround himself with, so he can start growing. That's why I think it's definitely important for him to either be in individual therapy, group therapy, maybe a self-help, maybe something online to start out with, just to contact with someone so he can express how he's feeling on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, just to figure out, just to help him stop, because I don't know if he keeps on slipping or he's totally gone into it, but I think he needs definitely that support. And that does not mean anybody's weak. It does not mean you can't do this on your own. You don't have to do this on your own. There's no big award that you get for being able to conquer addiction on your own, or conquer trauma or abuse on your own. We're humans. We need support and we need help. And I think also for this listener, the girlfriend, I would really encourage maybe you to be able to sit into a group of family members or loved ones of those that are addicted. It could be Al-Anon. It could be any type of group. I think just to hear the concepts, just to get the supports, and also to realize that this isn't your fault if you're feeling that way. This isn't your job to fix. This isn't something that is your responsibility. Yes, you love this person, but I think it's being able to say, when can I take a step back? And it's a very, very hard, hard thing to do. And I don't feel that you are being overbearing. You said, I don't want to become overbearing about it. But I think when there's safety issues involved, if we're concerned, I know you said it slipped once or maybe a couple of times, what does slipping mean? That's what I'm wondering. Does it go into that slippery slope where maybe I have one beer once and the next time he's out till 6 o'clock in the morning and drunk driving and getting arrested? I mean, I think we really have to be honest and be really serious of these are the outcomes. This is what's going to happen. You know, you have one beer, there's a very good chance it's going to lead to more. It's going to lead to this. Is it drunk driving? Is it being arrested? Is it, you know, getting arrested? You know, it's very, very serious. So I think it's really important that you not worry about being overbearing. It's about being honest in a constructive way. As I always say, be constructive and say, listen, this is what's going on. And I think also being able to say, you're in this relationship too. You need some support too. You need to be able to be open about this with him and also him to be able to support you through this, because this is very difficult for you as a loved one to worry about, because who would not worry about it if he hasn't called or maybe he's out some night with friends? It's something that you worry about. So I think it's something that if you two could really sit down and talk, maybe in couples therapy, maybe in family therapy. And I think if he really doesn't want to get help, if he wants to do this on his own, I think then it really becomes your choice. Is that a deal breaker for you? Because I think it's very, very hard. I'm not saying it's impossible, because I don't think anything's impossible, but I think it's very, very hard for someone to get through an addiction on their own. I think they really need a support team and a group around them to really help them. So thank you again for writing in. Let's go on to our second question. Dear Insight into Healing, my wife of 15 years has started complaining that I don't listen to her anymore or value her. I feel that I do. What is going on? I get this question a lot in couples therapy, and I think there's no right answer and there's no wrong answer. I think so many times when you start, I feel that she feels that I'm not listening to her and I don't value her opinion. I think we're not taught. I'm taught because I'm in therapy. I was in school for therapy. That's what I do as a psychotherapist, that I've been taught professionally how to listen, how to hear. And I think people who have not been really taught, they don't know the difference between listening and hearing. So I do a lot of different exercises with my clients when they come in as couples. And let me tell you something, as someone married for 15 years, even for a couple who's been out for a couple of times, listening is active. Listening is something that really has to have effort to. And it's not about, you know, forcing anything on the relationship or straining the relationship. I think you need to really learn about what that person is feeling, what they're saying. And I think also for the person feeling like they're not being listened to, they also have to understand the other person isn't a mind reader. You need to be able to express a couple of times and say, this is what I want, this is what I'm saying, do you hear it? So they understand, because I think sometimes, as I said before in other shows, we all have our own monologue in our head from childhood, our own experiences, that's our perception. That's how we see things. I think sometimes we feel, oh, everyone else sees and hears. This is obvious. This is exactly what, you know, how could they think anything else? But we all don't think alike, and that's just it. So I think it's keeping that precept in your mind. And I think also being able to sit down with your wife and say, what do you feel I'm not listening to? If I were to listen, what would you want me to hear? And this is not to start an argument. This is not to challenge. It's really coming in objectively, really coming in with no judgment, saying, listen, I really want to know, what do you want me to hear? What is going on? I think once those type of things happen, there are different exercises. As I always say, have this exercise where I tell couples, write down a time in your life when you knew that you listened to somebody. And what was the evidence that you knew that you listened to someone? And then when in your life did you know someone listened to you? And how do you know they listened to you? What was the evidence? And I think sometimes it seems like such a simple question, but if you really think of that, we take listening and hearing in our conversations so for granted. So I think it's really important when you really say, when do I listen, or how do I know someone listened to me? I think when you start kind of coming to a conversation and interaction and with that mindset, it takes away sometimes the feeling of not being heard or not being respected, but being saying, you know what, this is another tool. As we learn tools in school, we learn math, we learn English, we learn how to spell, we learn how to write. We don't really learn how to listen. We listen to our teachers, we listen to our bosses to a degree that we have to, but how do we learn to listen in a way where it's active listening? So I think it's really important to sit down with your wife and ask her, what is she feeling with the listening? How long has she felt that you have not been listening? And do you feel that she listens to you? Do you feel that she values you? And I think sometimes there can be an incident, a small thing that can happen maybe years ago. And, you know, you might not think it's a big deal. Maybe it wasn't a really huge, huge thing. But people are human. Things stick with us. And we can't pick or choose what kind of sticks with us, what gets underneath our skin. And if it hasn't really been resolved, or if we're kind of not conscious that it's been resolved, it festers. It's kind of underneath the surface, and it sits there. So that's why I think it's important, as I say in couples therapy, write down for sessions, for each session, for future sessions, five top things that are really bothering you that you would like to work on. We don't do it in each session because sometimes one issue can take many sessions, but five themes that are going on. And really, let's see how they're going. What are some short-term ones that we can work on? Is it something about, you know, he doesn't wash the dishes after he eats or he leaves everything on the table? It's saying, okay, so if that was one of the issues, I would say, other than just it's a mess and you have to clean it up, what's going on with that? What is the theme under him not putting his dishes away? And a lot of times it's not about the dishes. It's about an underlying theme that they felt throughout their relationship. He doesn't respect me. He doesn't do something that he doesn't want to make me happy, that he can't at least just put this dish. He doesn't understand that that makes me happy, or just something like that. And it sounds so small and frivolous, but things like that can build. So I think it's really important to say, not to pick apart each event as, you know, each fight as what it does, but I think, what is the theme? If you can be, and this is really like being able to learn how to do this, what is the theme that is manifested through all these different events, these different themes, these feelings that each partner feels is an issue in the relationship? What is the theme? Is it, I'm not feeling respected, I don't feel loved, I'm feeling neglected, I'm feeling ignored, I feel like he's always angry, I feel like she doesn't respect me as a man, I feel like there's not enough money? I think it's being able to really say, what is the reoccurring theme? Don't get stuck in the events. Get really work on the theme. And it's very hard, because I think sometimes, of course, we get defensive, we get hurt. So the fight becomes, our walls get up, the pain is up, so we're not able to hear, we're not able to listen to the other person because we're in pain. And that's any human. When you're really upset, as I tell my clients, if you're really upset about something, that is not the time to make a major decision. Wait till you calm down, and then start thinking about it, then start making a decision. When you're very emotional, that is not the time, unless it's safety and it's crisis and you have to make a decision, that's fine. So I think a lot of times, you know, if you're having a huge argument and everything's heated and the emotions are escalating, it's being able to learn to say, hey, let's take a step back, let's come back in 20 minutes, let's, you know, however long it takes, let's really, and being able to really speak about it. Some people need a day, some people need an hour, some people need 10 minutes. And every person has to be respected how long they take or don't take to calm down. So I think it's a lot of negotiating with the couple as each partner can really speak with each other, and being able for, while they're having this, as I do in couples therapy, to kind of put their feelings onto the side for a minute and being able to look at it as their side, their partner's side, and then the middle side. So there's three different facets. There's three sides, and being able to see every side, being able to see it from your side, be able to see it from your partner's side, and then be able to see from a side with someone who's not even involved in this, just an objective side as a therapist, and find with all those three sides, what are some results? What are some things? What are some options, resolutions that we can all work on? And it takes time. And I think, but each partner starts doing that, you really grow into the insight of what the other person's foundation is, what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what they value. You don't learn this overnight. It takes a lot, and you don't have to do this for the rest of your life. But I think once you start doing it for a few months and you get, it becomes second nature, and that's what you go to first instead of feeling really hurt and upset and offended and I don't feel listened to. You go to, okay, boom, 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 this is the stuff I want to work on. This is what, you remember when we spoke about this? I think that's what really is going on. So I would definitely be able to say, sit down with your wife and really have a conversation with her, not when she's upset, not when you're upset, not when you're both tired, But when you both can really just sit down and talk about this calmly and get some decisions and get some ideas about how to move forward. Let's go on to our next question. Dear Insight into Healing, I think my husband might be having an affair. I can't put my finger on it, but something is wrong. How do I know for sure? Yes, that is a very tough one. And I think, you know, sometimes we say, we trust our gut. What is your gut feeling? And why would you think that he's having an affair? I mean, is there a history? Has there been a pattern of this before? Is this something that's been going on? Let's go through that. And then also about your gut feeling. What is your gut feeling saying? When has your gut feeling popped up? Is it because he's staying late at work? Is it his behavior has changed? His mood has changed? Is he isolating? I think this even happens to, you know, with our loved ones, with our children, with our friends. We can tell when something's a little off. So I think that's what is important to say. Is there something up? Are we sure it's an affair? Or could there be something else going on? So I think that's where this is another way to be able to sit there and have his side, your side, and the middle side, which is very tough, and I totally understand that. But let's kind of try and figure out what is the evidence on each side? What is things that are going on? How do I know for sure? I think that's a very tough, tough one too, unless, of course, you find emails or text messages or actual physical involvement, is that when we know for sure. But I think if you're really feeling this way, have you spoken to your husband about this? Have you asked him, hey, you know, I'm really having a bad feeling. I don't know. There's something off. Can you tell me what's going on? I know some people say, oh, they'll never tell me. That's it. They're just going to lie about it. I'll never know. But I think it's first, let's ask that question. What's been going on? I think also, what have you noticed? How has your relationship been with him? Have you guys not been intimate in a long time? Are there strange phone calls? Is there a different phone? Is he disappearing? I think those are some important things to really be able to sit down with him and say, what's going on? And I think if you really don't feel comfortable and you feel like there's something going on, I would recommend couples therapy. And I know sometimes people have not been in therapy, absolutely not, they don't want to go in. But I think it's a very, very important way to be able to discuss what's going on. And I think it's important, too, if your husband really wants to save this marriage or if this is really important, to say, listen, I really feel like there's something wrong. Unless we can work it out and I can feel some sort of closure that, okay, this is what's going on, I would like to go to couples therapy for a while just to discuss what's going on, just to get some tools, just to see how we can improve this. And I think if he does not want to work on himself, if he doesn't want to get any help and these different feelings keep happening or incidents keep happening, if those are what's going on, then you have to kind of ask yourself, is this a deal breaker? What works for you? Is this something that you need to walk away from? Or is this something that you need to go in for individual therapy to explore with your therapist on your own to see how do I deal with this? And I think that's really, really important. Before making any rash decisions, major decisions, I would speak to him or speak to a therapist just to kind of go see what's going on. And I know we go to our friends, we go to our family, but I think it's very important that we speak to someone who's not involved. Because as we all know, sometimes we tell people things and then it gets thrown back in our face and then everyone's uncomfortable the next time when everything's better at Christmas dinner or the birthday dinner or something like that and everyone's feeling uncomfortable. So I think that's why it's important to go to a third person who's not involved, who's not a part of your life, who doesn't have to keep reminding you of what's going on, that you can discuss it, put it together, and figure something out. Well, thank you for your question. Let's go on to our next question. Dear Insight into Healing, I am happily married for 5 years now, but find myself feeling neglected by my wife. We have two beautiful children that we love very much, but my wife doesn't seem to have time for me anymore. Am I being selfish? No, I don't think you're being selfish. I think this is very common too. There's a difference between being selfish and there's a difference between self-care and there's a difference between honoring yourself. Obviously, you're feeling something. That's important to acknowledge. We can't get rid of our feelings. We can't act like our feelings don't matter. We can't push them away underneath and hope they just go, because if not, they fester. They keep growing. They keep getting bigger and bigger. So I think that's what's really important to say. You know, you're allowed, you have feelings. You're entitled to say, hey, I'm feeling neglected. I'm feeling like someone's not paying attention to me and don't have time for me. So I think I'd say speak to your wife And what type of time would you need? What would be ideal time if you had a magic wand? And what would be realistic time? And I think being able to sit through both and saying, okay, what can we work through? And also, have you spoken to your wife about this? Because I think that's really important, too, to be able to speak to your wife and say, hey, you know, I'm just feeling neglected. Not having to start a fight. I think that's the most important thing. I think we need to kind of know our audience. We need to know timing. We know when to approach to have our conversations. And I know that's very hard, but I think it's important to be able to say, okay, when's a good time? When someone's coming home from work and they're exhausted, that's probably not the best time. When people are rushing to go to work in the morning, that's not a good time. I think it's supposed to be a really calm time where the two of you can sit down and not feel attacked, not feel being judged, and say, listen, this is what's been going on. I think, how long has this been going on that you feel like that there's no time for you and that you're feeling neglected? And I think a lot of times when there's children involved and when there's different, both people are working and as life gets very hectic, these things happen and people don't realize it has to be a conscious effort to spend time with your loved one, to spend time, yes, as a family, but yes, also spend time as husband and wife, as boyfriend and girlfriend, as two adults, as you did when you first met, to have that adult interaction, because that is very, very important, that you have that alone time together, that interaction with just you two, to be able to speak to each other, to be able to say, hey, what's been going on? How are you doing? You know, how is work going? How are you feeling? Just small things like that can really build the foundation. Because I think through time and different things that go on and just keep passing and passing, people forget, weeks go by, months go by, and then all of a sudden someone's saying, I feel like you haven't paid attention to me. So I think, number one, it's important to be able to find a good time to speak to your wife if you haven't already, and just sit down with her. But also before then, prepare some bullet points, not attacking points, but bullet points. What would work for you? What are things that would you like to have coffee on Sundays together or go for a walk or a phone call at lunchtime at work? Just the small things, I think, really, really add up. And I think that's really important to be able to say to your wife, this is something that's been bothering me. This is something that's going on. How can we work on this? And I think being able to also hear your wife, so she doesn't feel that she's being attacked or that it's a defense mechanism, but be able to say, you know, maybe does she feel the same way? She might not even have any idea, which I think is also being able to hear that too and say, okay, oh, you had no idea, but this is how I'm feeling. And that's not, it wasn't even her intention. I think it's being able to soak that in too, that wasn't her intention. So I think it's important to be able to sit down with her calmly and say, this is what's been going on. I'm not sure if you know, sometimes things happen. What can we do about it? Because I think, you know, if this sounds like you have wonderful children, you're very happy with her, you love her for 5 years, this doesn't sound like a deal breaker right now. I would really, you know, give her a chance and speak to her and sit down with her, and the both of you set up a goal, set up a plan, a treatment plan together that you can work on. And, you know, also maybe going to couples therapy. You don't only have to go to couples therapy when there's a huge issue or there's something drastic going on or it might be the end of the relationship. I find it's important to go to couples therapy. I get a lot of couples that just start dating that come in or before they get married or they just touch base every once in a while just to brush up on their communication skills. And so a lot of times I find for my couples when they're in session, they know and find out things from their significant other that they didn't know. And they said, wow, that changes everything. I never knew this. I never knew that. I've been with you for 15 years, and I never heard that before. And it's strange, you know, what can happen in therapy in an environment. But that's important. I think you don't have to be in therapy for the rest of your life in order to work out your marriage or your couple. But the therapy is a role model, is a tool to show you how to create an environment that will allow this interaction, that will allow this dialogue between two of you in a safe place. And that's what therapy does. It allows you to have this type of relationship and being able to say how you're feeling, hear how somebody else is feeling, and not have to get really offended or feel that you need to defend yourself to know, okay, I respect this person. This person respects me. They're hearing what I have to say. I'm hearing what they're having to say. It's not overwhelming. I'm not feeling I'm not good enough. Here's a couple of small, simple steps. it's not going to be fixed overnight. It's a work in progress. It's just something that we're going to work on together, and we have a commitment together to work on this, to move forward, and to strengthen. I think always to know, as I ask my couples, do you feel that your significant other has good intentions for you? Do you believe they really love you, want the best for you? And if they answer yes, I say, okay, then we need to keep that in our mind all through our therapy. You need to keep this in mind with your disagreements, with your arguments, with your fights, when you're feeling this way, because that's really important. If you don't feel the other person has your best interest, then that's another discussion. That's another type of session that we're going to need, and that happens too. Doesn't mean that's the end of the relationship, that's the end of the marriage, but that's something that also needs to be addressed. There's always layers, and as I say, nothing is impossible. We can work through everything. At least if people say, I'll try. You don't have to say, yes, I'm 100% in, this is what it's going to do. If you say, I'm not sure, but at least I'll try, you can move mountains and work miracles with, I can try. So thank you, everyone, for all those wonderful questions, and they're just so amazing. I love to get questions from listeners. And again, we are at the end of the show. We are at the end of the season for this summer. Well, again, we will start September 6th, Wednesday at 8 p.m., but I just, again, want to thank everyone so much for all of their support, for all of everything and their feedback. It's been so, so incredible. And I just want to wish you guys a wonderful, wonderful summer and just amazing. And please keep in contact and send me updates at insightintohealing@gmail.com. Everyone, have a good night and God bless.